welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Welcome to another episode of Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Jesse Harley. Reese, hi, how you doing?
I'm wonderful.
You're wonderful?
I'm wonderful. I don't mean I'm a wonderful person. I just mean I feel wonderful. It's not me giving a review of myself.
I'm tremendous.
That's for others to pass judgment. Person.
Yeah, exactly. So what's on the plate for today?
So you once described Ottawa as one of the most boring places in the world.
Dear God, man. Everything closes at 5. Everything. Like the bars, the restaurants, everything's done. 5 p.m., time to go home. All right, we're home from work. Great. What do you want to do? Nothing. There's nowhere to go.
Well, this I'm going to try and prove to you that Ottawa is dangerous and exciting.
Sure.
So this episode is called Sex and Violence on Parliament Hill. Oh,
okay. That's the only exciting thing that happened to me. That was good. Sex and Violence on Parliament Hill. I like it. Yeah. Now, last time I was in Ottawa, which was about 20 years ago, I was recording my homegrown documentary, Gambling Across the Country. And the most exciting thing to happen to me was I went to an ATM. I was in line for an ATM, and this guy in front of me was in a hurry, and he left. And I went up to take money out, except his card was still in the machine. And it asked, did you want to do another transaction? And if I was a person of lesser morals, I could have hit yes and taken out all kinds of his money. But I didn't. And his receipt popped out, and he had like well over $2,000 in there.
What do you want me to do? Pat you on the back for not robbing someone?
I mean, that'd be nice. Yeah, it was right there, right in front of me.
They have cameras in them anyway, so right. Even if you'd done the wrong thing, they would have caught you.
Well, I was a teenager, you know, so I wasn't the brightest. Not that I'm the brightest today either.
When I was 16 years old, I worked in an electronics shop, and it was Christmas, and they were like, it was a small store, but it was the only store in the town. So they would sell like £50,000 worth of electronics in one day. At some point, like the manager had forgotten to take all of this cash to the bank, but he could not be bothered to take it himself. So he gave me £25,000 in cash in a plastic carrier.
£25,000?
Yeah, which is like, what's that, like over $35,000 in cash in a plastic bag, and asked me to take it to the bank for him. And I was 16 years old. And I remember walking down the street and my mind was just going, what if somebody robs me, or should I just keep running? can I live the rest of my life from the age of 16 with this money?
And in a 16-year-old's mind, the answer is yes.
Yeah, yeah. I could buy a small European car with this. And then, you know, so I took it to the bank. Anyway, enough about us and our
thieving stories that don't end in thievery or
Disgusted honesty.
Yeah, we are Canadian.
Well. Well, I think I'm trying to be, and that was a good start. I didn't steal all that money.
You weren't Canadian at the time. No, you were very Welsh, and we all know about Welshmen, don't we?
Oh my God.
I'm trying to insult the Welsh, but I don't know anything about them at all.
because of that statement now, you can't go to Scotland or Wales.
That's right. Yeah.
This is, you're slowly marking off.
I'm sorry, all of you Welsh people out there, you're lovely and you smell like rainbows. Okay. Let's get on with the episode. This has been a very long intro.
Parliament Hill, colloquially known as The Hill, is an area of Crown land on the southern banks of the Ottawa River in downtown Ottawa. Its Gothic Revival suite of buildings is the home of the Parliament of Canada and has architectural elements of national symbolic importance. You turned on?
More than I've ever been in my life.
Right. So what I've done for this episode is find a collection of dangerous and sexy stories around Parliament Hill. And if I tell you the story, you should rate out of 10, like where they are, like 0 being falling
like
asleep.
If I'm on TripAdvisor and I'm rating sexy and dangerous stories that happen around Parliament Hill. All right.
Like 0 being a dog asleep on the grass in front of Parliament Hill. 10 being Parliament Hill just being vaporized by aliens. That's the scale.
Okay. All right. I can do that.
So First story. Now, I don't know how many of these are true. I've grabbed them from different articles on the internet. I'll try and add some links on the website in the show notes. But I really like this episode. It's called The Deputy Streaker.
So, oh, by the way, if you're listening to this and you want to follow along with these show notes and these links, go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com and look for the episode and it should all be there.
Or don't, because I haven't done it yet. So, a deputy speaker in the House of Commons from sometime in the 80s was caught in a compromising position with his assistant in a second floor office. The intruder, a young female staffer delivering some memos, fled and he ran after her, buck naked. Now it says buck naked.
Hold on, who was doing what? Sorry.
So he was basically doing a sex with a young female.
Is that how you call it? Doing a sex?
I was just using words creatively. I was making up my own way of saying things. So he basically got caught by one young female assistant doing it with another young female assistant and chased her out of the door. And he was buck naked. Why was he buck naked? I thought it was butt naked. I didn't know it was buck naked.
That's how we say it in Canada because of all the bucks.
Buck naked.
Yeah.
You could see his buck.
No, it's. I don't know. I don't know where that comes
from.
Honestly.
Which part of my body is a buck?
You don't want to know, honestly. Okay. Neither do antlers. So,
down the hallway, he ran down the hallway naked, and the door locked shut behind him.
Of course,
so
it did.
He was naked in the halls of Parliament and needed a security guard to let him back in, and earned the nickname the Deputy Streaker. So, I mean, which makes you think he wasn't the best streaker. He was only the deputy to the main streaker.
So you want me to rate that on a scale of
zero to 10.
Sleeping dog to an alien vaporizing. All right.
Parliament Hill.
I would put that at, that's pretty good. I'd put that at a drunk juggler on the hill throwing up in front of a bunch of children. So I'd give that a good solid 5.
Okay, that's good. That's good. So the motor is running, we should say.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. I'm impressed. So the next one is parliamentary threesomes. And this is kind of just...
I'm sensing a theme.
This is the only other sex one. It's going to start getting dangerous from you. This is just to warm you up. So apparently a young staffer saw Pierre Trudeau emerge from a bush and buttoning up his shirt. And then a young woman emerged doing the same, and then another one straight after. So, and this was during Canada's 100th anniversary fireworks, apparently.
Is this true?
I think it was hard to work out. I couldn't find any other sources of this information. It was in a newspaper, which I know doesn't mean that it's true or not. But
it wasn't a newspaper. You didn't just find this on Reddit or something. Okay.
No, this wasn't on Reddit, and I didn't make it up. I promise.
Okay, so assuming that's true, so we can make assumptions as to what happened inside of that bush, but it's what happened afterwards that. Okay, like I just want to know the conversation that went on in that bush once all of the sex doing had been done, had been did, and they're like, okay.
Imagine they're trying to negotiate. How do you leave a bush looking non-suspicious?
It's the buttoning of the shirts. That's the weird part. Like, okay, you do stay here. I'm going to walk out of the bush, and after I've left the bush, then I'm going to button my shirt. Then Joanne, you wait about 10 seconds, and then you come up. Stop buttoning your shirt. You're going to button your shirt after you've left the bush. And then Michelle, wait for Joanne to leave. And then you leave the bush. And that's when you button your shirt too. Okay. Are we all this? It's very inconspicuous if you do it that way. Trust me. I have a lot of experience doing this.
When you say it like that, it sounds too well choreographed to be true.
Right? Yeah.
Unless it was just they added those details just to make it seem like more.
I think people do. I think people make stuff up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, especially if a newscaster's in front of them or something like that. So, like,
what do you rate that? What's your rating for that?
I don't think that's true. I don't believe that one's true, honestly.
But zero.
If I were to rate it, let's say it is true. It's not that not as exciting as the streaker chasing someone down. That's a good one. I put this one at a solid 3. Let's say the drunk juggler throwing up in front of kids is no longer juggling. He's just throwing up. in front of kids. That's or a child, okay. One child, not even a bunch of kids. So that's a three.
Okay, this next one is starting to get a bit crazy.
All right.
And this, I love this. This is from an article called Ottawa Security Guards, Tales of the Weird and Wild. And this is one of the weird and wild tales of an Ottawa security guard.
That actually, is this a newspaper or a magazine?
This is from a newspaper. This is from the Ottawa Citizen, which is the a newspaper that exists in Ottawa. And it's for citizens, I imagine.
I'm sorry. It's like what a better review could you possibly give the Ottawa Citizen? Like, this is from the Ottawa Citizen, which is a newspaper that exists.
It does exist. A woman repeatedly tried to sneak a cat into Parliament Hill twice in the same day. First in a baby stroller, the second time under a jacket. Yeah, and that's it. That's the story. It.
There's
that's
nothing the else to that.
There's that's the story. There's no context. There's no why she was doing it. There's no kind of like what they did with the cat. Did she get help? It's just that she's just desperate to get a cat. It was just, it always dreamt of going into Parliament Hill, but because we don't treat animals as equals, you know, they're not allowed to go on the tour.
I'm really sad that the order in which that happened wasn't reversed. Like, I'd still, at first I'd like to think, like,
it's like a Looney Tunes cartoon. Right?
Just she's walking in and her jacket is just moving on its own, big bulge moving around. And like, ma'am, what is that? Nothing.
Or is a big coat with just lots of cats in there to try and create the illusion of a human.
And then, like, she comes back with a baby stroller.
And he's got like a hat, like a little like a bottle with some milk.
Oh, cute baby! Can I touch you, baby? No.
If it was me, I would shave the cat to make it look more believable.
Right. Yeah. So first you try to smuggle it in your jacket. That didn't work. Well, Mrs. Sparkles, time to get home and get out the razor. Like, this is exactly. And the bonnet. Yeah. We've been waiting for this day for a long time. That's pretty funny. That's all there is to that story. That's it.
That is it. She tried to take a cat in twice. Failed.
That's back to number five. I give that a five. Good. Yeah, that's great. That's a drunk juggler throwing up in front of a group of children. Don't you love that imagery? I love that. I think it's...
As someone who does, you're like one of those people who does circusy things. Have you done that? Have you been a drunk clown?
I have not been a drunk clown. No, thank God.
Okay. No.
I've been a magician, but not a drunk clown.
What's the best magic trick you can do?
I haven't. Oh, God. I guess it's the French palm. It's very simple. You're pretending to put a coin in one hand or the other. This is not entertaining at all. It's something you guys show. You can't describe a magic trick. It's not fun radio.
I thought you were going to do like a David Blaine, like I lived in a block of ice for 2 years or something. But don't worry.
Welcome to our... Make sure to subscribe to our next podcast, Describing Magic Tricks.
Anyway, okay, do you want another story?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this is a crazy story. So it's funny, but it's also sad.
I love stories that are funny and sad at the same time.
In 1966, an Albertan called Paul Joseph Cartier was deeply angry at politicians and blamed them for his financial woes.
What year was this?
1966.
Okay.
So after moving to Toronto that year, he entered Parliament with 10 sticks of dynamite.
Jesus.
He intended to throw them into the Houses of Parliament, including at some of the main players in Canadian politics, including John Diefenbaker of the Bunker that we know.
The Diefenbaker Bunker.
Did the Diefenbaker Bunker. And when he lit the fuse in a bathroom down the hall from the gallery, he accidentally blew himself up instead, taking out the bathroom and not hurting anyone apart from himself.
Oh, my God. I don't know how funny that you guys have a weird sense of humor over in Wales. That's not...
I mean, it's quite sad.
That's a knee slapper.
I would class that as a cry for help.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't call that really too funny. I mean, it's ironic. In a sense.
It is quite ironic. But I don't know why he lit it, why he waited to be in the bathroom to light it. Because that...
Right.
Imagine if something happened in between the bathroom and the... I don't know why he just didn't light it in the gallery. Because no one would run towards it if he did throw it. I just don't think he. I mean, I don't. I'm not trying to give him a better plan, but I would have done it differently. Or I would have just done it in the gallery with a shorter fuse. Just take a scissors.
Make sure to subscribe to our new podcast, Terrorist Plots, How They Went Wrong, and How You Can Do Them Better. That's
yeah. Anyway, you know, it's like when you watch a murder mystery and you're like, oh, I knew who it was. You know, it's just
right.
Hindsight is.
I mean, as far as like tantalizing, that's a juicy story. It's not that entertaining. It's juicy. I give it a 6, which wow. would be I'd be a drunk juggler throwing up in front of a bunch of children while his ex-wife berates him in the corner.
There you go. You upped the ante slightly.
Yes.
And I mean, there was also a hijacking of a Greyhound bus on the grass in front of Parliament Hill. And also there was the 2014 shooting where the Stephen Harper, the then Prime Minister, had to hide in a closet. And there's still bullet holes there, apparently. So there's been quite a few attacks and terrorist attacks that have happened at Parliament Hill. People have died. They, you know, like protecting the.
I remember the 2014 shootings. That was awful. Yeah.
This next one is called "The Time Nixon Almost Died in Ottawa."
Okay, I can also see that being a miniseries title. That's good. All right, yeah. The time Nixon almost died in Ottawa. All right.
So Arthur Bremer, a busboy from Milwaukee. Do you know what a busboy is?
I think.
Is it a young bus?
Yes, that's exactly. I'm glad you. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Now, a busboy is like kind of someone below a waiter where you pick up glasses and plates and you bring them back to the kitchen.
Okay. Well, he brought a gun with him to Parliament Hill's Centennial Flame in April 1972 when US President Richard Nixon was visiting Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, who I imagine had just come out of a bush buttoning up his shirt. Oh, hi, Richard.
That's how every morning during COVID-19 interviews, that's how he doesn't come out of his house. He comes out of a bush buttoning up his shirt.
There's a little plaque that says Pierre's Bush.
Nobody follows him. Nobody comes out after him. It's just him.
Unless you want to be part of what's going on in that bush, you don't go in there. So he was stood there and he was about to shoot Nixon, but a police officer happened to be standing in the way. But a month later, he would shoot the governor of Alabama, George Wallace, paralyzing him. The film Taxi Driver was partially inspired by his story.
Wow. Oh, my God. So it was the same busboy.
Yeah.
Who just kept working there, bringing his gun to work.
And then he tried to shoot Nixon, didn't work because a police officer was standing in the way. And in his diary...
That's it, because his diary. Okay, I was like, how do they
know?
So
people were there protesting Nixon, because obviously he was Richard Nixon, and that's what you do if he's there. That's what you do. In his diary, he complained that Canadian protesters had got in the way of the assassination. I blame them for partial responsibility in failing in my attempt.
Wow.
So basically... You know, as much as Richard Nixon was probably annoyed by there being protesters, little did he know the irony that they saved his life that day.
Yeah, that is irony. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, that's a pretty good one.
Now, the thing about the Centennial Flame, have you ever seen the Centennial Flame?
I believe so.
So a lot of people think that it's an eternal flame, as in, like, it never goes off. It's always there burning. which isn't true.
Well...
Not true.
It's not magic.
No, I mean, well, it's probably got some gas, like there's some propane feed in there, I imagine. But they turn it off 4 times a year to clean it. So, but because people throw money in there, they get between $4,000 and $5,000 every year, Jesus. And they donate the money to fund research into disabilities. How do you rate the Richard Nixon story?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a juicy one, especially the fact that bits of Taxi Driver were based off of that. I'd give that a 7. That's a 7. So that's a drunk juggler throwing up in front of a bunch of kids while his ex-wife is berating him in the corner while she is breathing fire.
Yay. That's good. So I imagine there's some kind of like tension because they're still in the same circus.
Right? Yes, of course. And she has to braid him in between breaths of fire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But I feel like next time I go to Parliament Hill, I'm going to look at it and go, there was a moment here that inspired the film Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. Cool. Yeah. Do you have any more for me? Is that it?
I've got. I thought that, you know, we got to a 7. I thought I'd introduce something that just seems quite lame as the last one. But only because, you know, Mackenzie King. We did an episode on Mackenzie King.
I'd like to do more on Mackenzie King. I'd like to do like a series on Mackenzie King.
Yes, speaking to the dead, using the advice of the dead to run a modern day country.
Yeah.
He installed a secret door to escape from his office. So basically, if there was someone was trying to come into his office to speak to him and he didn't want to speak to them, he would use the secret door to escape.
Where did it go?
It just went out to a different room, but you couldn't see him. So they'd be knocking on the door, Mr. King, we just had a telegram from a dead 18th century poet. He's got some advice on education policy. And he's like, oh, no, now I want to go home. I put my feet up. Telegrams from the dead. Oh, morning, noon, and night. I want to relax.
So he goes over and he plays 3 keys and out of
exactly
on the keyboard and like the China
on the keyboard.
Cabinet.
What did it like a Yamaha?
The China cupboard swings open, right? And he slowly backs into just a tiny 2-foot by 2-foot closet in the dark with no lights and just closes it until they go away. Doesn't actually go anywhere.
Exactly. It doesn't go anywhere. So as one final thing, I've got to ask you, have you seen the light show at Parliament Hill?
No, I have not.
So I recently I was lucky enough to be able to take my kids to Orlando before everything got locked down and you couldn't leave your country anymore. Mm. And they do all this projection on the castle in Magic Kingdom. And I didn't realize, but they do it at Parliament Hill as well. In the summer at night, they do this whole light and audio experience where they project Canadian history on the outside of Parliament building. And I recommend people Google it and look at it because it was actually way better than I thought it would be. It's on YouTube.
I thought you were going to recommend people go to Ottawa to see this.
Really, they can't right now.
Oh, right now. Oh, okay. Gee, yeah, but just watch it on YouTube instead.
Don't watch the video. It's actually watch the video, and then next time you're in Ottawa, just hang around and watch it. So every night you can sit on the grass in front of Parliament Hill and watch this big display. It's weird, but I kind of like it.
It happens every night?
Every night in the summer, apparently. Cool. So have you enjoyed learning about the...
I didn't rate the last one.
Do you want to rate the last, Mackenzie King's secret one?
That's funny to me. That's really funny. I think that's funnier than you thought it would be. I'd give that a 6, honestly. Oh, I could just picture him doing that a lot.
Yeah. So the next time you go to Parliament Hill, look for PA's bush, look for the light show, look for the secret door, try and sneak a cat in, run buck naked down a corridor. You know, there's a lot more going on than you imagine in Ottawa, Jeffy. So cool. So as soon as lockdown finishes, let's drive to Ottawa and do all those things.
Let's do it. Oh my God. Yes. And then we'll live cast it. We'll stream it.
Yeah. you've got to smuggle me dressed as a cat in a stroller. That'll go viral. Cool. Well, thank you for listening to this story, and I hope I've changed your perspective on the beautiful city of Ottawa.
Thank you so much for sticking us in your ear holes just the way you like it. And Reese, thank you so much for entertaining me on this incredibly hot day.
Canada, the Great White North, a utopia of manners, healthcare, and big-hearted people saying, hey. Sadly, that place doesn't exist. I'm Jordan, and on my show Nighttime, I uncover a version of Canada that is far darker than the one used in advertising to sell coffee, beer, and cars. The Canada I discuss on Nighttime is a twisted maze of crime, missing persons cases, unexplained events, and stories that prove Canada is not what they want you to think. If you want to join me, subscribe to the Nighttime Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else.